Good morning. Good morning. Want to welcome everyone to worship. Thank you for being here. On the church calendar, this is called the first Sunday after Christmas, but I scratched that out and wrote in Low Sunday, and you can tell why we call it Low Sunday. A few announcements. The tornado relief, we're matching funds from our mission money up to $5,000, so if you write a check, just indicate that it's for tornado relief. Also on decorating January 9th following 10:30 service, if you could help, we would appreciate it. And New Year's Eve is worship 7 o'clock with communion, and we're going to talk about the meaning of life from the perspective of the words of Solomon. And then next Sunday, we're going to talk about the early life of Jesus. What do we know? What are some of the stories out there? And also, the crosses. If you weren't here Christmas Eve or didn't get one, Rick Scheit and Steve Scheit took pieces of the floor of our original sanctuary where the altar stood and made us crosses. So we're limiting it to one cross per family. But if you need one, just come up here after service and grab it. And also, we remember in prayer the family and friends of Bill Sinisco and also Al Hansen. Bill Sinisco's service is Tuesday, 10 o'clock visitation in Town Square, 11 o'clock service. And Al Hansen, January 4th, 10 o'clock visitation, 11 o'clock service. We rise for opening hymn.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, oh glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
O broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson for today is taken from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Here ends our Old Testament lesson. Our epistle for today is taken from Galatians 4. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Jesus, rest your head. You have got a manger bed. All the evil folk on earth sleep in feathers at their birth. Jesus, Jesus, rest your head. You have got a manger bed. Have you heard about our Jesus? Have you heard about his fate? How his mother went to the stable on that Christmas Eve so late? Winds were blowing, cars were lowing, stars were glowing, glowing, glowing. Jesus, Jesus, rest your head. You have got a manger bed. To the manger came the wise men, bringing from hin and yon, for the mother and the father and the blessed little son. Milkmaids left their fields and flocks and sat beside the ass and ox. Jesus, Jesus, rest your head. You have got a manger bed.
We rise for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel for today is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning with the 22nd verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Here ends the gospel lesson.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if I knew anybody was actually going to be here today, I probably would have put something together. I mean, even my own family's not here. And I think Pastor Andy's gone. Rick, are you still here? Okay, you're not leaving, are you? Good. No, actually, I did put something together, although the timing is a bit off, because you see, in 2 weeks, I'm traveling to St. Louis for my next intensive course, which is an introduction into homiletics, which is just a fancy way of saying preaching. Now, I have great news for you guys. One of my books is even called Better Preaching. Isn't that great? However, there is some bad news, because the complete title of the book is A Year to Better Preaching. So you're all going to have to be a little patient with me. There are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to the New Testament and Jesus. And these aren't like vague prophecies that you might get from a boardwalk fortune teller or that palm reader in Clawson on 14 Mile. These are exact locations, circumstances, and even the timing of Jesus' birth. Now, God alone is the only one who could plan those specific details and ensure they all come to pass. Now, the probability of fulfilling all of those prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, or 1 in 1 quadrillion, which is 17 zeros. And I was gonna, if there were any kids here, I was going to have them line up to show them how big 17 zeros are, but they'll have to save that for next time. Now, when I was given this date to preach, the first thing I did was check the liturgical calendar to find out what I'm supposed to be preaching about, because as many of you know, I always follow the rules. Rick knows. The readings today included Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, and that's the branch from the Jesse. Now, I had most of this sermon written in early December, so you could imagine my surprise 2 weeks ago on December 12th when Pastor Randy had his Jesse tree there, and he's kind of preaching, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, this all sounds kind of familiar. Now, I'm going to be totally honest. At the 8 o'clock, I didn't hear anything he said. I wasn't even awake. I'm sitting in the chapel, and I'm looking at our memory tree, and I'm like, oh, there's Bob Erlewine. I remember him, and oh, I knew that guy. I wonder where my uncle is. And then I hear we rise for prayer. I'm like, oh, that's me. I'm supposed to do something now. 9 o'clock wasn't much better because it was my job to run the ornaments out to you guys. And it was kind of dim in here. So while he's preaching, I'm thinking, okay, I got to get the ornament. Then I got to get down the steps without falling down them. And then get back up the steps without falling them. Then get back to the ornament. So I still don't know what he actually said. By 10:30, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, there's a concert here tonight. Who's going to lock up? I guess that's going to be me. And is Maggie going to youth group? And who's, if there was a bubble over my head while I was sitting here, what I was thinking, it would be hilarious. So it really wasn't until Monday night that I realized, I think that's the sermon I'm going to preach today. So Tuesday I pulled it up and it was very similar. So we're going to have to rework everything on the fly. And I decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about the prophecies. And we're going to make it a Bible study kind of today, but I will still talk about Isaiah 11 just a little bit because it is such an important prophecy. You know, it says, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. We know Joseph is a descendant of King David, because we heard that just a few weeks ago, fulfilling the prophecy that Jesus is a direct descendant of King David. Now that prophecy seems pretty clear, but if anyone's still unsure, then there's Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 says, as many of these prophecies we've heard during Advent, but there's nothing better than repetition to make it stick. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what was the result of that prophecy? Christ himself fulfilled that prophecy. In Micah 5, it prophesizes, the Lord says, Bethlehem, you might not be an important town in the nation of Judea, but out of you will come a ruler over Israel for me. His family line goes back to the early years of your nation. It goes all the way back to the days of long ago. And where was Christ born? Bethlehem, the same town as King David. Coincidence? I think not. In Hosea, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Now, how was this fulfilled in the New Testament? In Matthew 2, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So God fulfills it by sending that angel to warn Joseph, and Joseph follows through by saving Jesus from Herod and taking him to Egypt, and then eventually God calls Joseph to come back from Egypt. In Samuel 7, it says, when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is an exchange between King David and the prophet Nathan. At this time, David is thinking about building his temple to God, and Nathan puts the brakes on it, and he's like, nope, this is not your time and place. Now, what offspring is Nathan referring to? I know some of us might be thinking, well, Solomon, because he's the guy who built the temple. However, in that line, it says, kingdom forever. So I'm not sure, no man will live forever. I think it's a reference to Jesus, because we know Jesus will live forever. Also, the church is referred to as the bride of Jesus. We know from Jesus' ancestry that he was from the house of David, because in Matthew 1, it said, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you remember, I had to read that 2 weeks ago. It kind of went on and on, and I'm not sure I could get Amminadab correct one more time, so I won't read that anymore. But in Jeremiah 31, and if you remember, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Somebody got the crystal ornament. It says, a voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. What does this mean, and how was it fulfilled? Well, in Matthew 2, the Magi arrive in Jerusalem and ask, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him. Herod heard about the Messiah and was very concerned. So he secretly approached the Magi and tried to trick them, because Herod wanted them to tell him where the baby was so that he could worship Jesus also. Well, we know that's not true. He intended to kill Jesus. The Magi were warned in a dream not to return the same way. Herod's cruel scheme to kill Jesus didn't work. So he maliciously ordered that all baby boys living in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, be put to death. In Matthew 2, it says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. So Rachel weeping for the babies of Bethlehem who were murdered by Herod. Now, doing a little interesting, scripture doesn't say how many were murdered, but doing some research on the internet, I saw some numbers. There was 14,000 up to 144,000 in this massacre. Now, I'm not a scholar, but 14,000 seemed a little bit high. So doing a little bit more digging, they said at this time the population of Bethlehem was probably about 300. So that 14,000 number is not at all in line. It was more like anywhere from 6 to 20. But regardless of how many children were killed, their deaths were a horrible atrocity, and Jesus could have been part of that number had Joseph not listened to the warning from the angels to flee beforehand. One last one from Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is written within my heart. So this was fulfilled in Hebrews 10. Previously, Paul was explaining that if the sacrifice worked, then worshipers would stop having to make them. But Paul says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will. Paul points out that in verse 11, day after day, every priest again and again, they make the same offerings, but it never takes away sin. But then Paul points out in verse 12, but when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. You see, the law will never save. No matter how precise or detailed the priests would make those sacrifices in accordance to the law, it would not save. Only faith in Jesus Christ will save. And he was the ultimate sacrifice when he died on the cross and then rose again from the dead. In closing, the Bible is an amazing book, filled with stories, And I will admit that until I started my studies, I didn't know the Bible as well as I should have. But as I've started my studies, it's become really fascinating. And the Bible, I genuinely enjoy reading and studying it and sharing information with Pastor Randy that, as he pointed out on Christmas Eve, he already knew. But it just is a wonderful book. Take some time this week. Maybe you're off on vacation. Open up the Bible. Check out Bible Gateway or check out one of the apps that are available. You know, in our lamp, there's a Bible reading plan. Take some time to study it. There's all kinds of resources. You might discover something you didn't know. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Had a baby, yes, Lord. Mary had a baby, yes, my Lord. Mary had a baby, yes, Lord. The people keep a coming and the trend on going. What did she name him? Yes, Lord. What did she name him? Yes, my Lord. What did she name him? Yes, Lord. The people keep a coming and the train don't go. She named him King Jesus, yes, Lord. Named him King Jesus, yes, my Lord. Named him King Jesus, yes, Lord. The people keep a-coming and the train don't go. She named him Mighty Counselor, yes, Lord. Named him Mighty Counselor, yes, my Lord. Named him Mighty Counselor, yes, Lord. The people keep a-coming in the train door.
I have to sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia. Alleluia. Praise Him above.
and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus, who was born into this world to save us from our sin. We give you thanks for the prophecies of the Old Testament pointing to Jesus in the New Testament, all for our salvation. Today we pray for those grieving the loss of loved ones, the family and friends of Bill Sinesco and the family and friends of Al Hansen. We pray for those facing health concerns, Brian, Michael O'Connor, Jim Meningo, Sharon Gold, Tony, Sue and Nate, Margaret Blackwood, Judy, Carl Story, Linda, Fred and Sue, Mary, Holly and Timothy, Paul and Suzanne, Mike Sullivan, Henderson, Mike Starks, and Sandy Craig. We pray for those in hospice care, Jess Soltis. We pray for special petitions for Michael and Callie Cray for a healthy baby. We pray for all those serving in the military, police, and firefighters. We pray for the president and all world leaders to be receptive to godly counsel. Prayers of thanksgiving for Matthew and New, who will be married on Monday, and for all those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Our sanctuary altar flowers placed by Denise Barron in memory of her mother, Margot Gray. Our lectern flowers placed by the Johnson family. And we thank our Family of God Soup Kitchen sponsors, the Keel family, the May family, the Banson family, the Mader family, the Movitz family, the Bernstein family, Bill Bartlam, and an anonymous donor. All this we ask as you have taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of